live from New York, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to talk about how an improper diet is linked to future health problems and a diet for your brain. What do you need to have a healthier brain? And researchers discover an ancient flower that naturally treats diabetes. The good news is that, well, they can't patent it. So I'll give you the spelling of it, and if you have diabetes, you can look for how it's being compounded out there. We're going to take a look today also at environmental issues. We're going to look at public health issues, including a new study that will finally cast some light on how lacking in efficacy for your teeth fluoride is. So all these decades they've been telling us that, well, it strengthens your teeth, the dental enamel. It doesn't. We'll give you the facts on that. Also, when you ask the average senator, would you like to see America become energy efficient? They're going to say yes. Would you like to see us become more sustainable? Most will say yes. Well, then why would 46 senators support burning trees for electricity when it contributes more to climate change than does coal? Lucas Ross of Friends of the Earth will share that. Also, the climate discussions in Paris, which were worthless. One of the reasons that none of these conferences ever amount to anything is because who sponsors them? Well, I'm going to give you the names of corporate sponsors that should not have sponsored anything based upon their reputations, yet they're the big ones there. Also today, we're going to take a look at some issues, including a commentary from Paul Craig Roberts. I think you'll find that important, looking at the world we live in. And we're going to take a look at humans versus carnivores. A really good description. Now, I've done this description along the way every time I can. We're vegan by design. And for those who still want more proof, today we'll give you that proof. Also, there's an absolute certainty that if Hillary Clinton becomes president, her husband will be vice president or co-president, much as when he was president, she was co-president. There's a part of their story that the media refuses to discuss, but it's factual, and we're going to share that with you today. These are the Clinton intimates, meaning the people who were there from the beginning, before he became Attorney General, and then Governor twice of Arkansas, then President. We'll give you an opportunity to hear about that very sordid background, because that hasn't changed. The mindset, the character is the same. Now, you can say it doesn't matter. I don't care. That's old news. But that would be like someone saying to Bill Cosby, oh, that's old news. All that sexual assault. That was a long time ago. Let's forget it. Put it behind us. Well, you shouldn't put crimes against humanity behind you. They should never be forgotten, especially if people continue to make the same mistakes. But in their mind, it's not a mistake. So we'll deal with that as well. We have a lot to share. Let's begin. First comes from a good study showing that when children, in this case the Telethon Kids Institute-led study, has found that low levels of plasma calcium and vitamin E and lutein, these are micronutrients found in spinach, for example, and your green vegetables, they're associated with the children having defective nutrition early in life, and that stays with them for a long time. Now, yesterday I talked about how DNA can be adversely affected when you're young, and that defective DNA just keeps replicating itself. And as a result, kid in their 20s or 30s or 40s now has heart disease. Even now we're seeing people in their 30s and 40s with memory loss. And that's the reason. This is just another study. on that. And what they did, they in this case, they examined 16 blood micronutrients and biomarkers. And what they found was that over a period of years, kids just didn't have it, which meant that they were not eating correctly. Now, if you eat kale and lima beans and butter beans and stream beans, if you have squash of different types, Hubbard squash, winter squash, spaghetti squash, if you have sea vegetables like wekamea and kombu, hijiki, if you have nuts like walnuts and almonds and pistachios and cashews, not defried and salted but raw, juicing, your favorite juice, if you have good fresh fruits, especially grapefruits, lemons, limes, kiwi, grapes, and if you have quality grains like quinoa and millet, then there's no reason not to be fully healthy because your body will have all the micronutrients required for your body to repair damaged DNA and give support to the existing healthy DNA. So that's the latest study. So the takeaway message is, wow, every time you encourage or allow a child to eat a junk food, that's going to stay with them for a long time, years. Now, there is a plant. Let me spell it for you. It's a little tongue twister. It is pronounced Chiliadenus, Chiliadenus. Second name, Iphionoides. It's also known as sharp varthemia, Varthemia. It's a stocky, furry-looking stem that produces spiny yellow flowers. And extracts from this aromatic shrub have been shown to exhibit really good anti-diabetic activity, helping to improve sugar absorption into muscles and fat cells and reducing blood sugar levels. So based upon these really outstanding outcomes reported in the Journal of Ethnopharmacology, the sharp varthemia appears to be a absolute blessing for people who suffer from diabetes mellitus. So that's a plant that you can get, and it's phenomenal for pre-diabetic and diabetic, and it'll show up probably first and foremost in compounding pharmacies. I'm asked all the time about what can I do for memory or dementia. It's almost always a loved one who's suffering. And the frustration is substantial when you have one person in a family who's suffering because the entire family has to be on 24/7 watch. I spent a month with a group of individuals who had advanced brain disorders. One person was talking to a fire hydrant and suddenly wakes up. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, decides that they want to go swimming somewhere at the ocean, but we're not near an ocean. Doesn't matter. They believe they are. And it could be the middle of winter, and they dress up in a bathing suit and walk outside. It's hard to imagine what comes out of the mouth of a person with Alzheimer's, but it does. And for an outsider, you can think, how in the world do you cope with all this? Especially when the loved one no longer recognizes you as their daughter or son or husband or wife. So anything and everything that you can do now, the 76 million baby boomers, you should be doing. Because if not, it is inevitable that you're going to see your parents and then you will be suffering as well. There's no escape from this unless you go out of your way because of all the damage that we do earlier in life that then shows up later in life. So here are some things that we can do that can definitely reduce the risk of Alzheimer's. And these were published in Alzheimer's and Dementia, the Journal of the Alzheimer's Association. Right at the top of the list, leafy green vegetables. You can juice them, you can eat them. You can have them in salads. Then vegetables of every type and every color. Then every type of berry. Just think of all the berries. The gooseberry, the golden berry, the acai berry, the mangosteen. Let's say the two of the most powerful berries we rarely see in the United States. They're in season right now, by the way. So if you see them, little tiny black or little tiny red berries, they're about half the size of a sweet pea. Get them. They're a little tart. Throw them in a blender. Throw in a little Manuka honey and some ice and put in a mineral water and then our apple juice and drink it down. These are your currants, red currants or black currants. They're far more powerful as a healing agent than almost any other berry you can take. Pomegranate's good. Cherries are good. Blueberries, black raspberries, raspberries. But use the berries. Nuts are very important. There must be at least 500 studies in the peer-reviewed literature on the power of nuts. And these nuts are extremely important. And the fats and oils in the nuts are important. But also, there's lots of fiber in nuts. And there's protein. There are good amino acids in nuts. Beans. There's over 100 different types of beans that we have available in the United States. The average person doesn't eat more than two types of beans an entire year. Generally, they'll eat a white bean or they'll eat a kidney bean, generally in a chili. But think of lentils and split peas. There are dozens of varieties. So I suggest you have beans every day, whole grains every day, olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, fish, which is on this diet that they're advocating. And here's what you should not eat. The sweets, the pastries, the butter, the margarine, the cheese, the red meat, the fried and fast foods. And wow, in this particular, what was called the MIND diet, they had people 58 to 98 years of age, and they all had substantial benefit. 53% less likely to develop Alzheimer's if you just consume what I just told you. Now, mind you, I'm not even referring to the superstar nutrients like glycerol phosphorylcholine or alpha-lipoic acid, the R fraction, or phosphatidylserine, the acetyl-L-choline. These are the nutrients that really help your brain, especially with Alzheimer's. Coenzyme Q10 and magnesium, neurological magnesium, that passes the blood-brain barrier. Regular magnesium won't. So if you could get 55% prevention with just food, imagine what you would get if you detoxified, got rid of the heavy metal with chelation therapy. And vitamin C, by the way, is a natural chelating therapy. And also started to super build your immune system and your brain system simultaneously. Then there's no reason to get Alzheimer's, dementia, or memory loss at all. Some new studies on coconut oil. And this is from Sarah G. of Green Med Info. He's suggesting a simple tablespoon daily of coconut oil could promote weight loss and improve cardiovascular health. There's a new study, quote, a coconut extra virgin oil rich diet increases HDL, that's the good cholesterol, and decreases waist circumference, that's your belly fat, and body mass, meaning overall fat, and coronary artery disease patients. And that's from the study. So, heart, waist, and obesity? Yeah. And all with one tablespoon of coconut oil a day. For decades, people wouldn't touch coconut oil because they thought it was a bad saturated fat. Well, it is a saturated fat, but it's a good saturated fat. And now we know that we need this into our body. So, make sure that you're getting one tablespoon of coconut oil, organic, each day, and it can help you. I've seen it turn off inflammation in people with Alzheimer's and Parkinson's as well. Enormous benefit to people with memory problems when they're taking their coconut oil each day. And for people with inflammation, you want to make sure that they're taking there once or twice a day taking the black cumin seed oil. That you've got to blend in a smoothie because it's a little harsh on some people. And also for those of you who've been eating in fast food restaurants, they make all the food there that is deep fried in a vegetable oil. When you heat vegetable oil at a high temperature, it releases known toxic chemicals linked to cancer. And people are not aware of that, but they should be. And that's why you don't want these deep-fried foods, the deep-fried chicken or fish or anything deep-fried. Just stay away from it because these are called aldehydes. And heating vegetable oil leads to the release of high concentrations of aldehydes. Alde, A-L-D-E, hides, H-Y-D-E-S. Those are linked to cancer, heart disease, and dementia. You really turn on inflammation in the brain every time you have anything that's been fried. So stay away from fried food and stay away from heated vegetable oils. And by the way, what's the one food that Americans seem completely addicted to? French fries. And that's really bad for you. You want the healthy omega-3 fatty acids, which turn off inflammation to your heart. And finally, some people, I guess it was about 6 months ago, asked me, because I get a juice each day, big juice, and then I get another juice that I take to drink at night. And people come over, say, Gary, anything new in the way of super drinks? I said, yeah, there's something coming up now. First, it was coconut water, and that's really good for you, especially if you get the fresh, unpasteurized. But now it's called birch, B-I-R-C-H, birch. In Britain, they've been drinking birch water for some time, and it's very popular. They have all kinds of health claims, and it has a whole historical folklore associated with it. And so my suggestion is, I have not been able to verify the health claims, but at the very least, I think it's a much healthier way of being naturally hydrated than what a lot of people would be using. And there's no sugar in it. There's no chemicals in it. There might be some different flavoring. But birch water, historically, has been used for detoxifying. And it has electrolytes. So that would be my suggestion. Don't ascribe any healing to it. There's a lot more on coconut water, but why not combine birch water, 50%, and coconut water, 50%? Drink them together. And finally, from Dr. Edward Group, some new information on probiotics for women. And he's finding with his practice that women who suffer from vaginal health problems, urinary health problems, irritable bowel syndrome, constipation, defective immunity, even mood swings, all are helped with probiotics and calming the digestive system. And women are very susceptible to developing constipation and irritable bowel syndrome. And unfortunately, more often than not, they're taking drugs for these. And now the number one cause of constipation in the United States is not a lack of fiber and healthy, enzyme-rich living foods. It's anti-constipation products, because then the body is having something take the place of its normal peristalsis, so it has to be reminded again to get those muscles moving and electrical charges pulsing so food can move through your system. In the ideal world, when you eat a meal, shortly thereafter you vacate the remnants of the last meal. That isn't a very healthy person. And probiotics, including Lactobacillus plantarum, is one that will help that whole process. By the way, probiotics are beneficial to everyone. But for women, the benefits may extend to controlling common issues. Those microorganisms help keep the vaginal area somewhat acidic, creating a hostile environment for infectious bacteria. And also an imbalance of beneficial flora and pH levels are conducive for yeast to infect and grow. And that's why it's so crucial for women to consume probiotics on a regular basis while eating an alkaline diet. Your urinary tract infections will be diminished or gone. Your bacterial vaginosis, which is vaginitis, also commonly associated with the deficiency in positive gut flora, that will be no more. And you won't have to use any of those, unfortunately, toxic antibiotics. You'll be able to use natural antibiotics. Just remember, when you have vaginitis, very common, it's an irritating condition that results in an unpleasant discharge, bad smell, and itching. And fortunately, probiotics are also shown to approach this condition by fighting the main cause of the bacteria. That is a Gardneriella vaginalis, and a probiotic strain that supports women's health will knock that out. And therefore, you'll have normal secretion and normal vaginal health. Simple thing, probiotics. My suggestion, get them 3 times a day into your diet. We're going to take a brief break. Come right back. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. I'm Gary Nall, on the road, but still every day able to do the broadcasting. And I'm doing a special program for tomorrow. Yes, you'll be able to hear us on all the different sister stations around the world. And I'm giving you a look at the next 12 months based upon what I see are the various indicators from researching all topics germane to the human condition. So that'll be on tomorrow's show. I think you'll find that interesting. The question that many of us have to ask at this point, how much of our lives are motivated by fear? Because if we are tending to be fearful, and let's say that these are reasonable fears, losing your job, not having the money to pay all your bills, being an unemployed student, or having graduated but not having the job that you can do or not a full-time job, and you see that interest building up to where you do a little math and you say, I'm only 24 years old, and at the current rate of repaying my loans, I'm going to have debt for the next 30 years. How sure am I that things will not radically change? Well, unfortunately, things will change. If we were really a compassionate and caring and nation of people who cared about one another, we would forgive all student debt, 100%. Let them start from scratch, double system. Those who want to go to public school, free. Those who want to go to private school, you pay. And that way you have your choice, freedom of choice. Just no different than if you have cancer. If you want chemotherapy and radiation, you should have that. If you want alternative therapies, of which there are many and they've been shown to work, you should have the same right as that as well. And if we want to really make people healthier, then we should have universal health care and a national preventative health program. But in this world we live in, everything has been privatized. Everything is commodified. Everything is commercialized. No matter how glib or, you know, silky smooth the presentation is, life has become one giant infomercial for most of these corporations out there, including Fox News. So it's refreshing when John Whitehead of Op-Ed News reminds us that so much of how we're controlled is because people get us to be fearful. Now think of that for a moment. America is in the midst of an epidemic of historical proportions. The contagion being spread like wildfires, turning communities into battlegrounds and setting Americans one against the other. Normally mild-mannered individuals caught up in the throes of this disease have been transformed into belligerent zealots, while others inclined to pacifism have taken to the stockpiling weapons and practicing defensive drills. This plague of our nation, one that has been spreading so rampantly, is a potent mix of fear, coupled with unhealthy doses of paranoia and intolerance. Tragic hallmarks of the post-9/11 America in which we live. But we also had this back in the 1950s with McCarthy. Everywhere you turn, those both on the left and the right wing are fomenting distrust and division. We're being fed a constant diet of fear. Fear of terrorists, fear of illegal immigrants, fear of the people who are too religious, fear of people who are not religious enough, fear of Muslims, fear of extremists, fear of the government, fear of those who fear the government. It's an endless list. The strategy is simple yet effective. The best way to control a population is through fear and discord. Fear makes people, what would be the word? Stupid. And you've heard me say many times, there is no cure for stupid. Confound them, distract them with mindless news chatter and entertainment, pit them against one another by turning minor disagreements into major skirmishes, and tie them up in knots over matters lacking in national significance. And most importantly, divide the people into factions, persuade them to see each other as the enemy, and keep them screaming at each other so that they drown out all other sounds. In this way, they will never reach consensus about anything and will be too distracted to notice the police state closing in on them until the final crushing curtain falls. This is how free people enslave themselves and allow tyrants to prevail. This Machiavellian scheme has so ensnared the nation that few Americans even realize they're being manipulated into adapting the us-against-them mindset. Instead, fueled with fear and loathing for phantom opponents, they agree to pour millions of dollars and resources into political elections, militarize the police, spy technology and endless wars are funded, hoping for a guarantee of safety that never comes. All the while, those in power, bought and paid for by lobbyists and corporations, move their costly agendas forward. And we, the suckers, get saddled with the tax bills and subjected to pat-downs, police raids, and round-the-clock surveillance. Now stop for a moment and ask yourself, would you say something differently? Would you write something differently? Would you transmit something differently, knowing that dozens of different governmental agencies and private corporations now are going to have that information and can profile it any way they want? What if you're angry at someone and you say something over the phone? It's permanent now. The person you've yelled at might forgive you and forget about it and go on with life. Nothing is ever forgotten nor forgiven once you enter that giant vortex of government overreach and oversight. If anything, all of our threats are underestimated. All the while, those in power, they look at us as if somehow we're incapable of critical thought. Just turn on the TV or flip open the newspaper on any given day and you will find yourself accosted by reports of government corruption, corporate malfeasance, militarized police, and marauding SWAT teams. America has already entered a new phase, one in which children are arrested in schools. Military veterans are forcibly detained by government agents because of the content of their Facebook post. And law-abiding Americans are having their movements tracked, their financial transactions documented, and their communications monitored. Yet even more dangerous than these violations of our basic rights is the language in which they are couched, the language of fear. It is a language spoken effectively by politicians on both sides of the aisle, shouted by media pundits from their cable TV pulpits, marketed by corporations, codified into bureaucratic laws that do little to make our lives safer or more secure. Fear, as history shows, is the method most often used by politicians to increase the power of government. Even while President Obama insists that freedom is more powerful than fear, the tactics of his administration continue to rely upon fear of another terrorist attack in order to further advance the agenda of the military security industrial complex. Now think of this. We do not have any money left over after putting it all into the military industrial complex to spy on us, to feed the 18 million hungry children, to rebuild the inner cities, to help upgrade the quality of public education and its infrastructure, to have housing for those who have none. That we don't have money for, because their fear is not on the agenda. An atmosphere of fear permeates modern America. However, with crime at a 40-year low, is such fear of terrorism rational? Even in the wake of 9/11 attacks and the shootings in San Bernardino and Paris, statistics show that those living in America, police state, are 800% more likely to be killed by a police officer than by a terrorist. Thus, the government's endless jabbering about terrorism amounts to little more than propaganda. The propaganda of fear, a tactic used to terrorize, cower, and control the population. So far, hey, it's working. As history makes clear, fear leads to fascistic, totalitarian regimes. It's a simple enough formula. National crisis, reported terror attacks, and sporadic shootings leave us in a constant state of fear. Fear prevents us from thinking. The emotional panic that accompanies fear actually shuts down the prefrontal cortex, or the rational thinking part of our brains. In other words, when we are consumed by fear, we stop thinking. A populace that stops thinking for themselves is a populace that is easily led, easily manipulated, easily controlled. For the final hammer of fascism to fall, it will require the most crucial ingredient. The majority of the people will have to agree that it's not only expedient but necessary. In times of so-called crisis, expediency is upheld as a central principle. That is, in order to keep us safe and secure, the government must militarize the police, strip us of basic constitutional rights, criminalize virtually every form of behavior, pathologize everything in life, and give us all a computer chip, take away all cash, and make sure we're all vaccinated with 100 to 300 vaccines, all for our own good, and having Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and everyone on the left, you know, on racial matter, all supporting it. So who's to disagree? Where are their other voices? All the science has already been completely corrupted in the United States and around the world. We have people working for companies that give us bad products, but never tell us the financial ties they have to those companies. We have no good science today that supports public health issues, such as vaccination or water fluoridation. Not only does fear grease the wheels of the transition to fascism by cultivating fearful, controlled, pacified, cowed citizens, but it also embeds itself in our very DNA so that we pass on our fear and compliance to our offspring. It's called epigenetic inheritance, the transmission through DNA of traumatic experiences. Conclusion? Well, we wake up tomorrow. We have a new day ahead of us. Do we want to let those in power dictate through their methods of communication, through their words, fear, trauma, and for us to comply, to be passive, not to look at them in the eyes? Just like, well, who was it? Jennifer Lopez didn't want anyone on the set to look her in the eyes. What a diva. Fear has been a critical tool in past fascistic regimes, and now it's operating in our own contemporary fascistic world, all of which raises fundamental questions about us as human beings and what we will give up in order to perpetuate the illusions of safety and security. We don't ever question the alcohol that we're drinking, the drugs we're taking, medications, the psychiatric drugs, the food we're eating, the quality of our water coming out of the tap, the vaccinations we take. All of this we assume are absolutely for our best interest. The trouble is, these are the very elements that are causing us to be sick, diseased, and dying prematurely. And just as a little cherry on top, this is the latest study, as reported by Clara Burnish from Natural Blaze, a new study by Harvard University College London just found that the British actually have better dental health than people in the United States, despite a water fluoridation rate of up to 74% for those who rely upon public sources like New York City. America's dental health simply doesn't match up to that of their British counterparts, where only 10% of the supply contains fluoride. Quote, contrary to popular belief, our studies show that the oral health of U.S. citizens is not better than that of the English, with Americans having significantly more missing teeth. So says Professor Richard Watt, Professor of Dental Health, Public Health, Department of Epidemiology and Public Health, University of California. So we've been told that fluoride we needed. No, we didn't. I wrote about that 30 years ago in an article I keep updating called Fluoride Fiasco. We were told that we needed mercury fillings. No, we don't. That creates neurotoxicity. We were told we needed vaccines. They're safe and effective. No, they're not. There's never been proven. We were told our water coming out of the tap is clean. It is not. We were told we have a democracy. We do not. We're not even supposed to have a democracy. We're supposed to have a republic. We were told that politicians can't be bought. They're all bought. We were told our state legislators represent us. They never have. ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council, has passed 22,000 laws through those legislators in secret that didn't represent your interest or mine, only theirs. We're told our food is the healthiest in the world. It is not. It is nutrient depleted and is GMO'd, heavily sprayed. All you have to do is ask anyone in Washington, do we want peace? Yes. Democracy, yes. And freedom, yes. Is that what we got in Iraq? Is that what we created in Iraq? No. In Yemen, no. Libya, no. Afghanistan, no. Syria, no. But then ask them, were we complicit in creating the terrorists and the terrorism environments, arming them, supporting them, training them, because they were our foot soldiers in regime change? And they'll say then, no. And you say, why should I trust anything you say and give up my rights? Because you want me to feel fearful of an enemy that you've created without telling us your real agenda. Was it oil? Was it gas? What was it? Can you be honest? And the answer is always, never. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. welcome all of you. I'm Gary Nall. We have a lot more program to go, but right now we're going to take a little break and say hello to, from California, Christine Blosdell. Hi, Christine.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Doing great. And we have a year-end special, year-beginning special. It's going to be shipped right out. Something that you came up with that you believe, based upon the long-term knowledge of this audience, would really help them get into the new year with a whole new attitude about themselves. Why don't you describe it, please?
That's right. Today, we're going to be offering a very, very special package. It's called Gary's Super Sexy 5-DVD Pack. And in this pack, this is sort of the best with when it comes to anything doing with relationships, anything doing with love, and it is absolutely a gorgeous pack. It includes 5 DVDs. One of my very favorite, Gary, is the one entitled Sexual Healing, because it's no mystery in this country that people, we have a lot of issues around sex. And this particular DVD features incredible experts, everyone from a tantric sexual woman who is fantastic talking about tantric sexual breathing, applied kinesiology. There's Dr. You have another doctor on here who actually talks about the way in which we communicate with one another, which is so very important when it comes to our sexual relationships. But this package has 5 DVDs. Sexual healing is one of them. Another one is love. Then there is happiness, the joy of juicing, and guilt-free desserts. And this package is normally $225. And today, for the year-end special, it's a $109.95. That is a huge savings of over $115. And we want to play some clips from a few of these documentaries. But I just love this package. I think it's really, really important for everybody, because it's an issue that, especially the sexual healing one, it's an issue that Americans have a real hard time with.
Good. Let's go into this again, and let's just go through it and show why people would benefit from this. And let's take each piece of this and dissect it, because it's a big package with lots of information. But I also want people to hear some clips from it. And once they hear some of the clips, they'll better understand why it is so important for them. Now, this is called the Super Sexy 5-DVD Packs. You're getting 5 DVDs, 5 documentaries. The most powerful one I've ever done is called Love. It's a long one. Then Sexual Healing. Then something that's joyful is called Happiness. Because what are so many people looking for in life today, Christine? They're looking for happiness. Unfortunately, they've mastered the tools of happiness, but not happiness. They've worked themselves to the bone. They've sacrificed friendships and relationships and their pets and everything, including their personal health, so they could get enough money or success where they could have what they thought would be a happiness item. And it's not. The new car, the relationship, the home, the promotion. And they get it, and then they're just as empty as ever before. And they look at people around the world where they're just happy. And happy people live longer lives. And I can't help a person be healthy if they're not happy. So I spend a lot of time working on the happiness equation rather than just the nutritional equation. And then we have, to help you in getting healthy, we have guilt-free desserts. These are wonderful gourmet vegan desserts, shown how to make them step by step in the kitchen. And then we have one of the most powerful documentaries I've ever done, The Joy of Juicing, where I went all around to show you what juicing is about, how it benefits it, how it goes, what goes on when juice goes into your body. It took you up to Harlem, and I showed you 2 places on 125th Street. One was McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken, and then down the street, and I interviewed people coming out, and then down the street was one of the healthiest juice bars and successful juice bars in America. It was a completely different group of people. You go in there, and they have a whole story about what juicing did for their health. Now, mind you, they're both African American. They're both in Harlem. They're both in the same neighborhood. One were eating junk foods, and yet they were aware it wasn't healthy. The other were intentionally eating healthy foods because they wanted the benefits of that health. So there's a very strong group within the African American community who's very committed to healthy living. And so I show you the joy juicing and A to Z, happiness, the documentary, sexual healing, and love. So that's your five different CDs. Now, normally these are $225. We're offering for $109.95. You're saving $115. $115 saved. Do you want to tell people how they can get them?
Yes, it's really easy. All you have to do is pick up the phone and call 877-627-5065. You want to specifically ask for Gary's Super Sexy 5 DVD pack. Again, it is normally a $225, and you're going to get it for $109.95 at 877-627-5065. Now, we put this together specifically for the new year, yes, so that you can get started on a good footing for the new year. But it is really an incredible package because every single thing, every single DVD in this package is something that you can use right away in your life to make your life a little bit better, make your relationships a little bit better. And I love the fact that we have the joy of juicing because that really, to me, Gary, is like one of your premier documentaries, DVDs, where you actually show people exactly what to do for juicing, why you want to juice, what does a cucumber do, why is celery good? Everybody says celery is good, but why? And you walk them through that and basically guide every single person who watches that documentary on the right way to do juicing and what to get and why it's important. So I think that one DVD alone is worth $109.95, but you're getting four other ones. You're getting a total package of five of them. And joy juicing is one of them. Happiness, guilt-free desserts. These are delicious desserts, and they're easily prepared. Gary walks you through that as well. Love, which is a gorgeous documentary. This is also one of my very favorites because we don't talk about love in this country. We talk about the Hallmark kind of love during Valentine's Day, but that's not really what we're talking about. Real love, unconditional love, is something that we're not shown very well in our family structures. We're not shown even through our education or through the media, but Gary really breaks it down about love. And of course, one of my real favorites is sexual healing because we don't talk about this. We talk about the freaky side of sex, right? We talk about how sexual someone is, but we really don't talk about intimacy issues. We don't talk about women's needs after a certain age, menopause, premenopause. We don't talk about these things. And Gary, this documentary, Sexual Healing, I'm telling you, it is spot on. Yeah, it is really incredible.
By the way, of all the 100 films I've done, that has been the most popular. And I've gotten so much good feedback because I just deal honestly with what people need to know about sex but are afraid to ask. And there's so many questions people have and so few places to ask where you're not judged or held in some form of contempt if you don't subscribe to everyone else's sense of normalcy. So I go through all the different aspects of sexual healing and how sex can be used as a healing agent. So it's very powerful, it's very honest, it's very upbeat, very positive. So that's the five. So give a call now. Last time, give the number, please.
The number to call for Gary's Super Sexy 5 DVD pack is 877-627-5065. Remember, this is normally $225 for all of those DVDs. You're getting it as a special today for $109.95 by calling 877-627-5065. And make sure you ask for Gary's Super Sexy 5 DVD pack.
Thanks a lot, Christine.
Thank you, Gary.
And now we're going to take you into... I don't have time for the Clinton Chronicles, but I do have time to go through the humans versus carnivores and how we were designed to be vegan.
Are you ready? and carnivorous creatures. Walking. We have two hands and two feet, and we walk erect. All of the carnivores have 4 feet and perform their locomotion using all fours. Tails. Carnivores have tails. Humans do not. Tongues. Only the truly carnivorous animals have rasping, rough tongues. All other creatures have smooth tongues. Claws.
A lion's claws are like razors.
Our lack of claws makes ripping skin or tough flesh extremely difficult. We possess much weaker, flat fingernails instead. Opposable thumbs. Our opposable thumbs make us extremely well-equipped to collect a meal of fruit in a matter of a few seconds. Most people find the process effortless. All we have to do is pick it. The claws of carnivores allow them to catch their prey in a matter of seconds as well. We could no more catch and rip the skin or tough flesh of a deer or antelope than a lion could pick mangoes or bananas. Births. Humans usually have children one at a time. Carnivores typically give birth to litters. Colon formation. Our convoluted colons are quite different in design from the smooth colons of carnivorous animals. Intestinal length. Our intestinal tract measures roughly 12 times the length of our torsos, about 30 feet. This allows for the slow absorption of sugars and other waterborne nutrients from fruit. In contrast, the digestive tract of a carnivore is only 3 times the length of its torso. This is necessary to avoid rotting or decomposition of flesh inside the animal. The carnivore depends upon highly acidic secretions to facilitate rapid digestion and absorption in its very short tube. Still, the putrefaction of proteins and the rancidity of fats is evident in their feces. Mammary glands. The multiple teats on the abdomens of carnivores do not coincide with the pair of mammary glands on the chest of humans. Sleep. Humans spend roughly 2/3 of every 24-hour cycle actively awake. Carnivores typically sleep and rest from 18 to 20 hours per day, and sometimes more. Microbial tolerance. Most carnivores can digest microbes that would be deadly for humans, such as those that cause botulism. Perspiration. Humans sweat from pores on their entire body. Carnivores sweat from the tongue only. Vision. Our sense of vision responds to the full spectrum of color, making it possible to distinguish ripe from unripe fruit at a distance. Meat eaters do not typically see in full color. Drinking. Should we need to drink water, we can suck it with our lips, but we cannot lap it up. Carnivores' tongues protrude outward so they can lap water when they need to drink. Vitamin C. Carnivores manufacture their own vitamin C. For us, vitamin C is an essential nutrient that we must get from our food. Jaw movement. Our ability to grind our food is unique to plant eaters. Meat eaters have no lateral movement in their jaws. Teeth. The molars of carnivores are pointed and sharp. Ours are primarily flat for mashing food. Our quote-unquote canine teeth bear no resemblance to true fangs, nor do we have a mouthful of them, as a true carnivore does. I am reminded of one of Abraham Lincoln's favorite retorts. If you counted a sheep's tail as a leg, how many legs would it have? Invariably, people would answer 5. To which Lincoln would respond, only 4. Counting the tail as a leg does not make it one. Tolerance for fat. We do not handle more than small quantities of fat well. Meat eaters thrive on a high-fat diet. Saliva and urine pH. All of the plant-eating creatures, including healthy humans, maintain alkaline saliva and urine most of the time. The saliva and urine of meat-eating animals, however, is highly acidic. Stomach acid pH. The pH level of the hydrochloric acid that humans produce in their stomachs generally ranges about 3 to 4 or higher, but can go as low as 2.0. 0 equaling the most acidic, 7 equaling neutral, and 14 being the most alkaline. The stomach acid of cats and other meat eaters can be in the 1 range and usually runs in the 2s. Because the pH scale is logarithmic, this means the stomach acid of a carnivore is at least 10 times stronger than that of a human and can be 100 or even 1,000 times stronger. Uricase. True carnivores secrete an enzyme called uricase to metabolize the uric acid in flesh. We secrete none, and so must neutralize this strong acid with our own alkaline minerals, primarily calcium. The resulting calcium urate crystals are one of the many pathogens of meat eating, in this case giving rise to or contributing to gout, arthritis, rheumatism, and bursitis. Cleanliness. We are the most particular of all creatures about the cleanliness of our food. Carnivores are the least picky, and will eat dirt, bugs, organic debris, and other items along with their food. Natural appetite. I saved this one for last, because really, this should say it all. Our mouths water at the sight and smells of the produce market. These are living foods, the source of our sustenance. But the smell of animals usually puts us off. Carnivores' mouths water at the sight of prey, and they react to the smell of animals as though they sense food. Our anatomy, physiology, biochemistry, and psychology all indicate that we are not carnivores. To say that carnivores eat carnage or flesh does not accurately portray such creatures. Animals that live on other animals usually eat raw meat, straight from the carcass, with relish. Carnivores consume most of the animals, not merely the flesh, eating the muscle meat as well as the organs, and lapping up the warm, fresh blood and other bodily fluids with gusto. They delight in the guts and their partially digested contents. They even crush, split, and eat the smaller bones and their marrow and gristle. Most of us love animals as fellow creatures on Earth. We do not salivate at the idea of crushing the life out of a rabbit with our bare hands and teeth. And the thought of eating one in a freshly killed state is repulsive.
Oh, I hope this isn't full of maggots or anything.
We certainly do not enjoy chewing on bones.
It's so squidgy.
Gristle, entrails, chunks of raw fat and flesh, and the hair and vermin that inevitably accompany them. We cannot imagine slurping hot blood, getting it all over our faces, hands, and bodies. These behaviors are alien to our natural disposition and are actually sickening.
This is strange. We'll rub it.
So that gives you an idea of the actual differences between those that consume flesh and those who consume plant-based. A longer life, a healthier life from plant-based. I've been filming physicians throughout the United States during the last week, and all plant-based doctors. And by the way, this coming Tuesday, if you're in New York and you can provide us with a way of getting our equipment from mid-Manhattan up to the Upper West Side, we're going to be filming, and you can sit in on it and watch how I do an interview with the great Dr. Robert Thurman, professor at Columbia, and we're going to be filming him for four different films. I have filmed four different major self-impairment films. I just haven't finished them yet. We're now in post-production. We're finishing. So that brings us up to the end of this program. I want to thank you all for listening, and you won't want to miss tomorrow's show, that's for sure. Have a nice day, everyone.
The shark, babe, has such teeth, dear, and it shows them pearly white. Just a jackknife has old Maggie Heath, babe, and it keeps it out of sight. You know when that shark